Please pray with me. Father, we thank you so much for all that you mean to us and all that you have done for us. And we pray that you would find us to have grateful hearts, overflowing with joy for the great gift of life that you have given us in your Son, Jesus. So may the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So in all of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we have different accounts of Jesus' resurrection appearances. And we're going to be hearing about those in the weeks to come, and they're going to be unfolding in front of us. But the earliest account of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead is about 10 years earlier when Paul writes to the Corinthians. And he says it in this way: "For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500, most of whom are still living, though some have died," he says. N.T. Wright, when he's reflecting on this passage from 1 Corinthians, argues that it must have been a more enormous pressure for the gospel writers to want to exclude the women from the story, because it's the women who see Jesus and understand him and catch on. It's the women around Jesus who become the first evangelists. They're the ones who go out and proclaim this good news so that the world would know. "He's alive" is the only message now of the followers. It's not a matter of theology or anything else. It's just he's alive. The tomb is empty. Others will try to prove the veracity of this claim. They'll try to prove that Jesus is bodily alive today. Even Paul in his epistle is trying to show us the historicity of Jesus is very important. 500 saw him alive, he says. But I'm interested in the story, but more interested in the promise that comes with the story. The promise is this: Christ's life is now our life because of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. His life is now our life because he rose from the dead. That which was dead is now alive. And that which was dead in us spiritually is now alive because of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And so the consequence of Adam's disobedience and Eve's disobedience was death. And you remember the story, how he said, "If you eat of this one tree, you will surely die." And so all of creation is affected by their disobedience and by our disobedience. All creation is yearning for something more because we are fallen. From the time of Adam, creation has waited with eager longing for its fulfillment and for its redemption. But we get glimpses of it throughout the history of Israel. We see glimpses of this redemption, this resurrection, in Moses as he comes down from Sinai and his face is shining. And we see it in the Shekinah glory that led the people of Israel through the wilderness. And we see it in the Shekinah glory that rests upon the tabernacle and upon the Holy of Holies. And we see it in Jesus' own baptism. We see it how the heavens opened and a voice from heaven proclaimed, "This is my Son, my beloved, listen to him." And in the Transfiguration, the glimpse of God's resurrected glory, we see it right there. And we hear in the Psalms how they speak of all of creation being redeemed one day. And we hear in the Psalms how the rivers and the mountains will sing. They were created to sing, but now they don't sing, but they will sing. And we hear in the Psalms how the trees will clap their hands. When the heavens come down to earth, when the new heaven and the new earth are here, we will experience the redemption that all of creation longs for today. And so I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Easter is a great story, and it comes with a promise. Because he is alive, we can live. Because he rose from the dead, we can become alive to the living God. Genesis 3 is all over with the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. There's no chance ever again of experiencing Genesis 3, the fall, because Jesus in his resurrection has overcome it. He's beat it. He was brought from the grave to bring death to an end, but also to bring new life, a brand new life. And so Paul writes, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, I make all things new. That's the promise of this gospel. Annie Dillard said, I live my whole life a bell, and I never knew until I was picked up and rung. And then she goes on like a typical pastor or preacher, and she says it in exaggerated form. She says, before I had 5 senses, now 1,000. In John's gospel, Mary Magdalene is the one who discovers Jesus' resurrected body. And she goes to the tomb, and she sees Jesus, but she mistakes him for a gardener. Isn't that the best? That's what was lost in the fall. The paradise, the Garden of Eden. And now with the resurrection of Jesus, it's all been overturned. Chad Bird is a minister in Texas. He says this, Easter is the day when God kneels down, kisses the earth, and says, this is my soil. This is my creation. You are my creation. Not only is it still good, but I will make it even better. And so as we await the day, the final consummation of what Jesus begins on resurrection morning, when we await the final day, the final installment of the new heaven and the new earth, of this resurrected glory, as we await that day, God's life is now ours. Easter is a story that comes with a promise. And the promise is this: if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old, it's passed away. Behold, the new has come. Happy Easter. Amen.